Hi, and welcome to Rugby Bits Pod. We are going to be chatting about Italian rugby in Italy and the Six Nations specifically, but I'd like to welcome Ottavio to the pod, who is joining us and representing Italy, but not only Italy, pretty well traveled. He spent quite a bit of time in Ecuador and is currently in Bulgaria and safe, which is good to hear. But a great rugby analyst and rugby coach, and a man that has a hell of a lot of passion and love for the game. So I just want to welcome Ottavio.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation. Hi, everybody.
It's been a tough week with us trying to sort out everything in South Africa. We've got a bit of rolling blackouts, and we haven't been able to get everything together. But yes, welcome. And from the Rugby Bits team, we've got Jared and Cooks.
Hi guys, great to be back.
How's it, Chalky? How's it, Ottavio?
Oh, gents, it's good to have everyone on board. So yeah, Rugby Bits Pod is proudly brought to you by bet.co.za. We've been well supported by them and super stoked to have them on board. But I think what we'll do is jump straight in. So Ottavio, do you want to give us a quick little brief rundown of your rugby world, your coaching, and obviously you've been involved in South America, which is great. How's Ecuadorian rugby doing? Are you involved with rugby in Bulgaria at the moment? And obviously we're going to dive deeper into the Italian session later.
Well, I started playing in Italy actually when I was 16 years old, so a little bit late. I spent majority of my career in the same team, in my club, in Fiumicino Rugby. And I used to play blindside flanker, but I wasn't good to tackle. That's reality. So I was better on the attacking side, I can say. But after that, I started from coaching grassroots in my club, and then I moved through because I traveled to Ecuador for a social project, and I started there with different project, different communities, and then I coach Jíbaros Quito Rugby Club, which is the leader club now there. They won six national titles, and I coach the first team, the second one, the women's, and also some seven rugby. But there it was my really first approach with analysis and video analysis for my team. Was doing all by myself, and after that, just last year, last summer, I moved to Bulgaria. Now I'm without any club, but I'm supporting some club, some in Italy, my former team in Ecuador. But I'm a Gloucester fan, and I like a lot of rugby in general. I watch much rugby as possible, and try to do some content, some videos. I try to mix with Italian commentary and some titles in English, so I can reach both worlds. Now my world, my Italian world of analysis, and also a little bit out. And Twitter is great because can connect people, and I can learn every day more.
Nice. So a Cherry and White's fan, eh? So that's quite controversial. Two of my mates are big Bath fans, and they're quite loud at the moment because Bath seem to be making a slight turn towards not being relegated from a non-relegation year. But obviously between Gloucester, Bath and Bristol, it's quite a hell of a lot of competition and all derby competition. So how have you felt about Gloucester's season so far?
Well, the Gloucester season, it's amazing by far, and I'm going to be happy every result we're going to reach this year, because it was like a turning point when after Cipriani left, and we try to rebuild again. And I like the way Coach Skivington is managing the team, the youngster coming up. And also it's a little bit my team, because Marco Bortolami was the first Italian captain of a Premiership team years ago. And after him, we have now Stephen Varney and Jake Polledri. Hopefully we're going to see him back on the pitch soon. And but it's sad to hear that the the season of Bath was like that, because it's always nice to be like to have big and strong team. This year they're not their lucky team. They're not lucky here, but everything's gonna change soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly think it's making a slight shift at the moment already. Okay, we're gonna jump straight into Italy, and firstly, I just want to thank Jared because he's helped me out with quite a little bit of intel here. So the questions I'm asking will mostly come from Jared, who's pretty much on the ball with every rugby player in the top two divisions in the world. It doesn't matter where you go. So, Jay, thanks, my man. But, Ottavio, I just want to dive into to O'Shea, the ex-Italian coach. And what sort of role did he play in the Italian youth, and who's coming through at the moment? Did he add a lot of value? Is there still a lot of what he created coming through at the moment?
Well, I think so, because with him it arrived also Steven Aboud, which is he developed in the last 5 years a lot of what is the national development team with the youth, so under 20. And there is a kind of a pathway, ideas that he shared through the coaches of the federation, which is, I think, really good. The results are coming, because the victory against England is something really important. But also, for example, now we have this weekend, Garbisi Marin playing together, two really young, Menoncello already played this year. So the managing, like a real manager, which or she was also coaching, but the result didn't follow the expectation that everybody put into Oshi, I think, in Italy, the Italians fan. But this is not only... it's not his fault. It's not the fault of Franco Smith the last 2 years. It's not the fault of Kieran Crowley. We are growing, but seems like the other federation are growing faster, and we are losing the most important part is when the youngsters switch from under 20 to first team, having time, having opportunity to play more, and that is the big step. The long step we have to do to become really competitive. And also, I think the help of other players, maybe not Italian-born, but Italian-qualified, can be really important. But Oshi did a good job, he invented the Fox, so he changed the game, invented international game in that case. So the game changed also through that. He was a really positive coach, I think. He was always trust his team, but also the results weren't so good. But this is our big crisis coming over and over.
Ottavio, I mean, you look at like Italian rugby, so from the outside view, a lot of people look at the top in terms of the national side. They see that they haven't won in the Six Nations for a couple of years, but you look underneath that, I mean, Benetton was in the Rainbow Cup final. I mean, us South Africans know very well what Benetton did to the Blue Bulls, our best side here in the Rainbow Cup final. And you see the Benetton making the playoff of the URC in the Pro 14ers, and then the 20s doing so well. So what's the general feel in terms of around amongst Italians that you've spoken to? What's the general feel about Italian rugby as a whole? Do people feel it's growing, or is a sense of, you know, like not as much belief, or what do you think is the general belief around Italian rugby at the moment?
So we have a bunch of casual fans that just talk when it's Six Nation time. Probably they're just keep asking what is maybe Bergamasco. No, it happens a lot. Like people that ignore completely how the things change, they didn't follow the changes into the federation. We have a new president less than 1 year ago, the 13th of March, he started of the last year. But also, I think everybody thinks actually that Benetton Treviso is a really good team. Zebre is not. And also there is this big gap between the top 10, which is our first division, and the franchise team like Zebre and Benetton. Zebre, actually, they're going to move probably after next year. I don't really know if they are going to go to Padova in the northeast or they're going to move in another city and which kind of tournament they're going to play. But for now, for example, this is how everybody looks. Benetton, the best team, Treviso. And after that, a lot of problems, but also young player that actually, and we are so lucky there, going to play in other team like Arbisi, Riccioni, Varney, Polleri. Those guys are really important for us. Capozzo now is going to play for the first time an international cup. But there is this like misbelief in what Italy can do, but also they don't understand that probably we are just in this big limbo between maybe the top six, the European team, between the five best team in the world, and then there is Georgia, which is growing, the ranking is better than us, probably Spain is going to be better than us, but we play with the best, and I'm happy that we are playing with the best team in the northern hemisphere.
I mean Cooks has said the Bulls are the best side in South Africa, but I mean legit, it's the Sharks at the moment. They're top of the South African rankings. I'd hate Cooks to ever say that again and listed. But
it was hard to say, sure, to say. Oh. I'm just talking in terms of, you know, the last couple of years. I mean,
getting nervous.
Unfortunately, we don't have any silverware. To show for it.
That's fair.
We have the signings. If it was about the most signings, we would definitely be top of the pile in terms of the last couple of years.
That's no word of a lie. Ottavio, so just a quick one, excuse my ignorance, but when it comes to Italian rugby, obviously we all know Zebre and Benetton. Do you get contracted to a club, or do Benetton and Zebre have feeder clubs? Is it like a franchise, or is it strict club-to-club basis?
So we have the top 10 teams in the national team, in the national tournament. They give players sometimes like permit player, but it's the case maybe for the youngsters. In the, for example, now the Benetton today like release two player to a top 10 club, Mugliano. It's Yari Fantini, which used to play in Scotland. And another player is Caputo, is a fly half. It's half Italian, half, I think, Australian. And but other players, like, for example, Izzecora from Calvisano is another of the best team in the national tournament in the top 10. Now he's playing for Benetton, and for example, now the interesting part about Crowley is calling more players from the lowest level, so from the top 10, also to join the team preparing the Six Nation Games matches, and this is really interesting, but it's not completely clever, because we have also a team called Fiamme Oro, which is the police team, and some of those players they go just in one of the two franchises. So it's a little bit a question how they're going to manage this, and there's going to be also the reform of the schools of the second level. So we are not going to have just national academies. Now we're going to have from next year 10 academies. Every academy is going to be organized by a group of clubs geographically closer, and they're going to put national coaches there with the clubs to try to help and to reach more areas as possible in Italy. Because if we talk about rugby in Italy, we have the northeast really, really good, really strong. We have, for example, Rovigo, we have Padova, Treviso, and then we have a little bit of Emilia, so with Colorno, for example. Jesse is in that team, one of the really good new player they're gonna come in the next year playing for the first team. And then we lost some of the most important areas. Like, we don't have Rome, a really strong team. Now we have, yes, Fiamme Oro and Lazio, but they're not enough. Milano has in second in Serie A, so it's in the third level as teams. We don't have Naples. The south is completely lost. We have quite few players, but it's not something homogeneous all over the Italy.
Okay, that's very interesting, and it sounds like a bit of. It's almost, it's the same old story. If you invest a little bit into it, it looks like you'll get a little bit more out. Jared, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah. So my question is, if Italy were able to, let's say the results are a bit better, and they were able to hold on to guys like Pelledri and Varney, and Braley's come back, but having some of those players back in, do you think that would help these other areas that you speak of, so that they don't, Italy don't have just the two main clubs of Zebre and Benetton? Do you think that's a way to go, or is having those players playing other competitions, someone like Parise has played in France just about his whole career, is it better to spread those better your top players out, or do you think it's better to have them at home? Like someone like Garbisi has just moved to Montpellier. Would it have been better if he actually stayed at Benetton?
Well, I think it's interesting, because those players, I think the player like Garbisi, like Federico Mori too, they have to play at the top level as possible, because they are young. And they can show how a way to play, and they can really help the development of new player, because they are leaving, so their new spot to they can be taken by others. This is the example of Marina with Benetton Treviso. Can be the example of like Fusco, who now is going to play for the Italian team with Braley. Unfortunately, Varney is injured. But also, on the other side, I can see that in the last years, the best player we have, also we had like from a previous under 20 team, from Junior Rugby World Cup, like 2013, 2015, quite a few. They keep playing rugby until now. And a lot of those great players on perspective, they just playing in the first, second division in Italy, like top 10 and Serie A, but they never did that step to change like at international level. So I think if now the idea to spread more knowledge, more know-how of the formation of the under 20s, for example, in the south, or in Rome, in Naples, in Milano, it's going to be much important, because we can build up completely new generations of player, and they can play and play and play, which is the most important thing. Varney, for example, is not playing quite a lot, but it is a nice fight with Chapman, with two young players together like that. Garbisi played the majority of the season also due to international duties of Pollard. And actually, I'm happy that, for example, next year there's going to be Montpellier, Carbonell and Garbisi, two young guns they want to play. So it's going to be really, really interesting. Now let's see Capuazzo where he's gonna go, and for example, Mori, the work of Mori, it's important of his work on attack. You know that he has to work a lot on defense, but he's a good player, big body to put on the line. He has to manage himself a little bit better.
Yeah, I tell you that Montpellier. Carbonell and Garbisi together are actually going to rip it up. Jared would probably be able to share a bit more insight, but I think, I'm not sure if Reinach is staying, and I haven't heard that he's leaving, but I think having him there, and I'm assuming that he's going to stay on, having him there with those two tens, could really, really move Montpellier up a notch.
I think he is staying, and they're also getting that young French scrum off, Colley.
Yes, that's right. So I tell you, their 19 combinations are looking pretty handy.
Yeah, but, I like the way they play, for example, because it's a lot more pragmatic French style. I don't want to say a lot South African style, but there are really important South African players in Montpellier. And is it quite a bit what Crawley is trying to do with this use of the kick to regain possession and play into the structured areas of the field and put points with the ball?
So it was just something that I wanted to chat about a little bit, going back to from the coaching point of view. We spoke about how O'Shea possibly brought through the youngsters and his setup. But if you had a look at the coaches in the past, and again, I'm going to thank Jared for this because it's a great insight. But Mallet and Cohen were hired almost for their results. They were really trying to get results, and that was their main focus and whatever. Where O'Shea, Smith and Crowley almost seem like they're hired for development. How do you see that, and how do you feel that that's going to benefit Italy, or do you think it won't?
Well, the difference, I think Crowley knows the majority of the players because the spine of the Italy now it's Benetton Treviso. He's always been at Benetton Treviso in the last years. So, it's an internal solution, I think, at the moment. And it's also interesting because in this way they free up an area of coaching for Italians now with Bortolami, Masi, and Gustard. This is going to help a lot to develop the best coaches, and probably after Crowley, maybe it's going to be time for the first time in years to have an Italian coach, because we always follow different style, different methodologies, and I love how clever was Mallet with his game, what he tried to do defense first of all. I like the way Oshi tried to manage something from the roots to start moving something with Steven Abou, and but also Franco Smith open attack minded, and he was really clever with his style. It wasn't great for the results, but he used to put the good, the bad, and the ugly, the drivers of the games, the pods, and we saw that coming with the attack. And also, if we think about five tries we scored last year, this year we just scored one with Menoncello in the first game. It's something that we are looking to see how can we improve the new attack system with Italy. And I think we're missing some good players at the moment.
Well, Tarfa, can I ask, just touching again on the players that are obviously playing in France, like Gabarassi at Montpellier, and we spoke about how great it's going to be for him. And obviously now you've got this great under 20 side coming on. How do you feel about all those Italian guys playing rugby out of Italy? Or do you want to see some of them actually staying in Italy, playing for the Benettons, the Zebra, the Treviso? Or would you like to see some of the under-20s maybe playing in the Premiership or playing in France?
I can take different example. For Menoncello is one of the players that had a lot of time to play. He played first, second, center, 12, 13, 14, and is one of the best players that now we have, the youngster. We have David Odiase and Jesse, also Franz Romay from Colorno. I know the coach Filippo Frati in the top 10, Italian top 10, and it's a great coach with Umberto Casellato, who won last year. But if there is the opportunity, why not? For example, now there were some chat, I don't know how much we can confirm that, but probably Zilocchi and Fischetti, they can go maybe London Irish. I'm happy to see them playing that level with some kind of experience they can grow there. Riccioni, in a recent interview, he talked about how it's different to train with Vunipola or with Vincent Koch. And it's something everybody dream is to play at the top level. And I'm happy that there are players, and hopefully more players in the next maybe couple of years, they can go play outside in other countries, maybe in France, maybe England. But also on the other side, I think two franchises at the moment are too much, because I think if we want to follow like a model, maybe the Argentina model, they had the Pampas in the Curry Cup, then they have the Jaguares, and they have a group of players overseas. And this is really interesting, because we can almost do the same. Maybe first top level is going to be the national team Italy, then Benetton, and some development team that can, they can play together, and they are players on the on Italian perspective. I think it's important to have players like Mitchell, for example. Now we have in Zebre or Tuivuaca, but I think it's better if we gonna pick for a youngster to play to grow together. It's better for I think our culture, how we are made, our Italians.
Very interesting. And I'm gonna completely flip this on this head. We talk about the under-20s. I'm gonna talk about someone that's 38 years old and an absolute legend of the game, and Sergio Parise. The biggest question that we all want to know: are we ever going to see him take the park again for Italy? What's the general feel there? Do you think he's going to get that final game? Because it seems to be kind of ticking there and thereabouts. You know, there was promises after the World Cup because he missed the final game and all that. But I mean, 142 caps, 38 years old. He's still doing pretty well in the top 14. But where do you see life now going for Sergio Parise and Italian rugby?
The crazy thing about Sergio Parise is that we were waiting for him all this time, because on the sponsor, on the media information, there was his face all over, also in Italy. So everybody were thinking, oh, okay, this is going to be the good time. We're going to see him back in Azzurro. But I don't. Probably there was some kind of issues previously with maybe between the coaches and him. It's a big guy, is the most talented we have. Attacking wise, I think, more than defensive wise, but a great, great idol of Italians. This is gonna, and also the Argentinians, because they also said it's our player. No, so that's pretty fun. Actually, next year can be eligible for Argentina, in case he's gonna be called by Chega, whoever is gonna be coaching the Pumas. But it's I think I would like to see him, but it's not something that I'm waiting like a crazy. You know, his time with Italy is almost done. This is gonna be just like a standing ovation day for him, for what he did for us, picking first of all the Azzurri, because he could be also a Pumas time ago, and also for what he did representing Italy in San Francisco, in Toulon. So actually, hopefully to see him, but I would like to see him also in another way, like being there during the week trainings to help maybe Alaphilippe, Polledri, Lamaro in what it means to be a captain, what is important to develop about skills, leadership, and skills, more of everything, skills, I think, and leadership.
Yeah, he's an absolute monster. And I completely escaped me that he could play for Argentina. That would be, Oh, you couldn't script that. I mean, imagine we've been waiting so long for him to play for Italy, and he runs out on his final test for the Pumas. Imagine that would be, poof, that would rock the boats a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, hopefully it's gonna be just a fantasy rugby. Nope, it's gonna stay like that. Let's see if he's gonna be with Wales. But now he's 100% focused on his career with Toulon, which is in really bad waters at this time of the year because they're fighting against relegation, and everything can change there. Also, with Etzebeth not there, there's going to be a lot of decisions to take in the next months. And probably that's why he decided to, for good, maybe this year for Italy. But he said probably he's going to play another year. So let's see what is going to happen. Everything can change. But I really don't know what to expect at this moment of the season and of his career.
Yeah, I think realistically, when he said he'd focus on his club rugby at Toulon, I thought the Six Nations was out the window, and I think realistically, June is probably his last chance. So he's got to finish up the season in the top 14, and then hope that he can still be able to make the Italian side and travel and play, but. I think after that, I don't think November is going to be available to him.
An option. Yeah, and also this summer is going to be interesting for us because we have Georgia after a couple of years. Last time we played against the Lelos in the 2018, I think, and then Romania. So they can help us to put points on the ranking, on the international ranking. But also it's going to be really something can change if we approach properly that two games, because we play against Uruguay last year and it wasn't good at all, the game. I was really scared the last 10 minutes, and hopefully Faiva get that turnover ball at the end, but let's see how it's going to change. That's why I was saying the leadership of him can help us to be free up a little bit, and everybody can give the 10% more, so everybody going to give the 110% for that couple of games if Paris is in the field.
Yeah, and a little bit on the not necessarily the negative side, but addressing the elephant in the room. With regards to Georgia and, I mean, obviously with the Six Nations and Italy's current record at the moment, what are your thoughts on the promotion relegation option? Because, I mean, I will say, I think at least for the next 2-3 years, should it be Italy at the bottom, I reckon they'll be able to roll Georgia, so it wouldn't really matter. But do you think that would be best to grow the game, or are you happy with the way things are?
No, I like the idea of relegation and promotion. But, for example, Crowley, for the first time, you can hear an Italian coach saying, yes, let's do it. And I think that's the way. We have to do it to create more stories, because we can create more stories around this, the best sports in the world. Because we love this kind of narrative, and like relegation promotion can be something quite interesting, and also something that we have to fight for to change. And yes, we totally agree with the idea. And Georgia is doing good, is doing great, I can say. Also because they have probably 65. Players between first team and development team, so espoirs in France. They have one player in Gloucester, actually, Kvese Ladze, and they have Niniashvili, for example. He's a great, great player, one of the youngest. Yes. Aspra Idze play with Reinach in Montpellier. So they have a bunch of good players, and they're growing that way. They have their national team, they have their franchise, but they have a lot of youngster, and the best player they have in another tournament like France, majority of them. It's quite interesting what they are growing there, and also because now we can almost recognize some good backs, not only the props, as usual, no? As we always say about Georgia, big scrum, big mall, they're changing stuff, and that's really interesting.
Yeah, amazing. Otavio, I think we're gonna have to wrap up at the moment. So we're a little bit pushed for time in South Africa, as I mentioned, with regards to some load shedding. So I'm a bit nervous about pushing this too long. It's been a great chat. Unfortunately, Kutle had to jump off. He had a bit of a work dinner that he needed to attend. And Jared's still on, but Tavio, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you joining us, and I'm hoping we get to have a few more conversations. And guys, for all of those listening, Tavio Arenella on Twitter, please follow, have a look. He's got some incredible insights and some great bits of knowledge that he drops on there. Got a YouTube channel. What is your YouTube channel?
It's Rugby Coach 8 altogether and Ottavio Renella. But if you go on my Twitter account, it's going to be easier to find all the other media and base.
Okay, wonderful. So we'll share this podcast with all the Twitter information on, so you can give them a follow. But yeah, Ottavio, thank you so much. We really appreciate it, and we hope to have you again shortly.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure, and I love the way the podcast you're doing, because it's really interesting. From Italy, the English fan, they can really understand more and more, and it's a nice way to talk about rugby.
Wonderful. Thank you. So that wraps up this Rugby Bits pod, proudly brought to you by bet.co.za, and please be sure to like us and subscribe on all our channels. We will be bringing you a lot more information. We focus on Six Nations at the moment. We're going to go back to URC Premiership Top 14 and then jump into the June Tests, and then the Rugby Championship books and all that a little bit later. But Jared, Ottavio, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Ottavio. Thanks so much.